voice you are about to hear is the voice of Mumia Abu-Jamal. That incarcerated voice has been coming to you year after year for years, 42 years and counting, for longer than some of you have been alive. Mumia is Black, poor, a veteran Black Panther, a passionate MOVE defender, a journalist, an educator, a historian, a musician, a father and grandfather, a leader, our leader. Why are we fighting to keep the man behind the voice alive? Why does it count? Ras Siegel said, Gaza is a textbook case of genocide. We have long been saying Mumia is a textbook case of injustice in the American so-called justice system, an injustice whose mindset goes back to slavery. So the timeline of that injustice is long. Time is long. Those were the last public words of W.E.B. Du Bois in Accra. Time is long. Yes, the time of injustice is too long. So what is Mumia's timeline? And what have we done to prolong his lifeline? After a racist and politicized 1982 trial, after Mumia was framed and found guilty of the shooting death of a white cop, Mumia was sentenced to death. He always maintained his innocence. We, the movement, saved him from the lethal injection, but he went on to slow death row, or death by incarceration. In other words, life without parole. There, in 2015, he almost died from hepatitis C, had to sue the prison for a life-saving drug considered too costly, and again, we saved him. Then in 2020, when George Floyd was blood choked in broad daylight and the 9 minutes plus of his agony went around the world, we let the world know that behind our prison walls, there were thousands of George Floyds blood choked in darkness every day. Then in 2021, Mumia caught COVID and had open heart surgery, double bypass. Again, we saved his life, brought him back. The world was on a move. Finally, last year, Mumia's last appeal took place. On the basis of 6 boxes of exculpatory evidence, including witness bribery, racist jury manipulation, hidden from his lawyers for 36 years. So many letters and petitions were sent to African-American judge Lucretia Clemens that they could fill several volumes. From the United Nations, judges, lawyers, trade unions worldwide, even children wrote. The judge took her time and said no and sent him back to death row, slow death row, where, age 70, he is resisting more than ever. Mumia is everywhere. Mumia won't go away. Which is a feat in itself, because like all political prisoners, Mumia is meant to be invisible. That is why he was locked away in the first place. In the USA, political prisoners are not recognized as a category, even though they are the de facto prisoners of the police state's wars against the radicals and revolutionaries resisting the onset of their own genocide. The deep state needs its political prisoners to remain invisible to maintain the illusion of American democracy. But every year, every day that passes, Mumia speaks and writes and stays visible and vocal with our help. Today, in spite of the concrete walls, in spite of the steel of the bars, in spite of the rejected appeals, in spite of a denied cardiac diet, which is his human right, in spite of the arbitrary use against all our incarcerated elders of solitary confinement as torture, Mumia is still able to say loud and clear, there are no borders to consciousness. There are no borders to consciousness. Listen to Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Who runs the world? Meinen Freunde, Welkemen, the Gates. As we look out into the world, we once again view the spectacle of war. It is, to be sure, a colonial war, one fought by a regional hegemon, Israel, against what is essentially an unarmed population, Gaza. For one side has the most sophisticated weapons, including fighter jets, while the other side has, well, rocks. To be fair, the other side has missiles, yes, but most of them are unable to pierce what has been called the Iron Dome, which safely detonates over 90% of all missiles which are incoming. One is reminded of the overweening power of the U.S. military when it launched the Iraq War and later the war in Afghanistan in March and August of 2003, respectively. The Iraq War promised, in the words of former U.S. President George W. Bush, weaponry that would evoke both shock and awe. It turned out to be disastrous in the human and social costs, with millions becoming refugees and both societies shattered. The wars began as a kind of neoconservative fever dream, sucked trillions out of the U.S. budget, and did little to support U.S. objectives. The Iraq War, pitched as a search for weapons of mass destruction, found nothing of value or strategic. As for Afghanistan, the U.S. negotiated a withdrawal that left the Taliban in control of the ancient country that became known as the Graveyard of Empires. And although the neocons launched the wars to change the face of the Middle East, most foreign affairs scholars consider the Iraq-Afghanistan wars as two of the biggest blunders in American foreign policy and foreign affairs. What this shows us is that there is a limit to the reach of military power. Countries can mobilize, truly, but if they can't reach their objectives, that weaponry is wasted. The Iraq-Afghanistan wars are also instructive in another respect. They were preceded by the biggest anti-war protest in world history. But what's the point, you ask? Didn't these protests around the world, mass marches, fail? Yes, if you mean they failed to stop the wars. But history has another judgment. For history shows that they, the people, were right. And their elected leaders, the neocon think tanks, much of the corporate media, and of course, the military-industrial complex were wrong. It also means that in future, protests may have to actually be bigger. Bigger and bigger. And perhaps labor actions should be integrated into such protests. Those vast protests show the leakages and, to be honest, the weaknesses of representative democracy. For when the so-called representative ignores the will of the people, that's not democracy. That's the opposite of democracy. That's autocracy under a democratic mask. So who runs the world? The people do, when they fight long enough, hard enough. The great black leader Frederick Douglass once said, "Power concedes nothing without demand. It never has and never will. So make the demand and build. Make the demand and build. With love, not fear. Hier spricht Mumia Abu-Jamal. Auf Wiedersehen."
These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.